to John chapter 14, please. Have many of y'all been reading John 14?
No.
Yes. Has anything, did you get anything out of it?
Oh my gosh. It's like the best love story ever. I don't know how else to put it. It is like a roller coaster. You got everything in one chapter. I actually read it twice in a row once.
I started reading, I can't even hardly get very far. I didn't get so in this week. I was looking, I already had all this stuff, and I was starting to look, and he just made it so much more. And it was like, I felt like this whole other, like, lessons. And I was just like, oh, my word, just blown away. Suits and ties and wingtip shoes, and I came in and I thought, And I looked, and there was nice windows and big old vaulted ceiling, like, you know, the, you know, and beams, beautiful, and everybody's all beautiful. And I'm like, oh my word. And they're all talking, they're all smiling. And I'm thinking, I don't fit here, but I know God wants me here. So I'll just be quiet. Like I'm going to make a phone. Okay, if you haven't turned it down, turn your phone down, please. Okay. But as time went on, I said, God, I don't get it. These people don't, they say they love you, but they don't seem to love you like I love you. They don't talk about you. I don't hear them talking to other people. I hear them talking about the preacher, and I hear them talking about everything but God. And when the word is preached, there's a lot of them. I've been coming here for 10 years and I've never seen them go to the altar. And I just don't get it, God. They don't seem to love you like I love you. I mean, they say they do and they all look good and they were here for a long time before me. And I remember, because I asked God that many, many times, because I kept trying to figure out, what does it mean? By the way, this is a side note. It's not even my notes, so this is going to be good stuff. You ready? Okay? Well, the notes are good, too. This is good. This is good. We're writing it down. Just remember this. I have to come back to that. Okay. So I say, God, I don't get it. They don't seem to love you like I love you. Oh, that goes along with what we were talking about down there. Okay, good. Watch this. We often believe people above God. Think about what I'm saying. We often believe what people say as opposed to what God says. People say such and such, but the Bible says this. Like, for example, people say, oh, cancer can't be healed. That's like too vague. Somebody's going to die. But God says, with men it might be impossible, but with God all things are possible.
Amen.
Somebody just told me, whatever day, remember I told you I was going to Grace Bible College and pray over there. Do y'all remember that? And so I go over there, and they had this really neat prayer thing for an hour, and they had police chiefs and people from different community offices, whatever they're called. I don't even know all these people, mayors and whatever they were. I don't know all these people, and they're up there praying, and they all prayed, but then they all just like let God say whatever, even though it was God. It was so cool. It was so good. I don't know how to organize all that stuff, but I know how to let God just be God. And I was watching these people let God be God in their lives. And they were from all walks of life, but people that are our leaders. And I watched them, and I was blessed by them. And I prayed while they were praying. I could pray because, you know, it's like preaching. People say to me, how do you know if you're called to preach? Good preaching, bad preaching. It all makes me want to preach. How do you know if you're called to preach? If you can do anything but preach, you're not called to preach. Okay? That doesn't mean you're not called to be a minister. Everybody's called to be a minister. Everybody's not called to preach. Okay? A minister is someone who simply lets the life of God flow through them to meet the need of another. Yesterday, Rick ministered to that little girl and mommy that baked those cookies by going and buying from them and then complimenting them by going back and buying them again and giving her a tip. I doubt he told her the tip was, you know, don't play in the highway, you might get hurt. I bet he gave her money, you know? He ministered. He met a need. He did something that you can't put a value on. It was deep. It's God. It's the spirit realm. It's God's life flowing through him. And Glenn ministering to that lady that just died, just hopefully she graduated to heaven, and And but she worked at Family Fair there for 18 years. She must have only been 36 years old
right.
when she died. And yet, right before she died, if you heard the story, I don't know if you did, but Gwen said, it's my birthday. And she said, well, my birthday's coming up or something. And I wish, you know, but I'd like to go to a movie and with some people, but I don't have anybody to go with me. So Gwen mentioned it to some other people as the Lord led them. They're at Family Fair, and several people at Family Fair said to her, why don't we go to the movies? You'll be here at your birthday. Would you like to go to the movies together? And then she died right after that. And then those people came to Gwen and said, thank you so much for bringing that to our attention. See, he ministered to the woman. He ministered to all those women. And then they ministered to her. They ministered to each other. And it was the life of God, a relationship flowing from one to another. It was ministry going on. So let's go back to what I was saying. Lord, I don't seem to love you like, well, they don't seem to love you like I love you. And one day he said to me, it's because they don't realize how much they've been forgiven. They only think they needed a little forgiveness, and you realized you needed a whole lot. Because the Bible says, to whom little is forgiven, the same loveth little. So the opposite is true. To whom much is forgiven, the same loveth much. And here, in Hebrews 4:2, it says, the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. Faith is believing what God said and moving with it, doing something with it. And just because somebody sits, God told me a long time ago, just because they're sitting in the pew and they're doing this, doesn't mean their life's going to change.
Right.
Head nodders don't necessarily have their lives changed. Just because they're nodding their head, you got to do something with it. It's not making a mental ascent. A lot of people know about Jesus. They believe in Jesus, but they've never believed on Jesus. They've never trusted on him. They've never come to him, realizing they needed him to die on the cross for them personally, that he cares about them personally. So we want to break agreement with unbelief. Jesus says here, do you understand what I'm saying now? He says, do you understand here in John 14 what I'm saying? We're going to go over that in a minute. He says, do you actually believe it? He says, do you believe me? Look at Mark 9:24, or I'll just read it to you if you want. But it says, and straightway the father of the child cried out and said to tears, Lord, I believe, help thou my unbelief. So right now, why don't we just pray that? God, please forgive me for where I don't believe you and where I believe other things that are not true, because you are the truth. And I'm asking you, I'm telling you that I do believe in you, but I need you to help my unbelief. I want you to remove the unbelief so that I only believe in you, and I believe in you and make you more valuable than any other voice or thought that I have. Thank you, Jesus. Romans 12:3 talks about God gives people a gift or a measure, a portion of faith. For I say, through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. I want more faith. You want more faith?
Yes.
God, please give me a bigger gift of faith.
Yes.
Please give me a gift of faith to believe you for whatever it is you want to do in my life, through my life.
Yes.
God, help me to believe you. Okay? Now, I'll show you another way to get more faith. Romans 10:17. So then, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. We put faith, you know what, we believe. So, it was funny, where was I, Lord? Grocery store, bank, somewhere. And I went, I think I held the door and two people came in. All I remember is they were black
and they came walking in, and the guy says, well, it was on TV, so you know it's true. And as soon as he said that, or they said it on the news, so you know it's true, and they were having this conversation as they walked in, must have been the bank, I think. And I looked at him, and I think he realized what he just said. He just started that. Have you ever seen a black person blush? He blushed. You know, he turned like cherry black or something, you know. And I said, so it's true because they said it on TV. And he goes, he got a Corvette. And he goes, he starts laughing. How stupid is that? You know? Faith comes by hearing the word of God. We need to spend time in the word of God. How does a guy go from a pusher to a preacher? How does a guy go from a drug dealer one night to the Son of God the very next day? How? The Word of God. It wasn't anybody. They jumped me through hoops. 6 different denominations baptized me. All this stuff. Memorized everything. Catechism. Confirmation. Jump through all the hoops. I knew all about Him. But when I sat down, nobody telling me, I sat down and started reading this Bible, not even for the right reason. I'm reading it to sell it, but it's not like any other book. And as I read it, the Word, Jesus Christ, God, in print, captured me. Amen. And I'm like having to think about what I'm reading. Faith comes by hearing the Word of God. We need to be in church. We need to be hearing the Word. Because we listen to the TV. Is everything we're hearing there true? I mean, really. Like, I'm just asking. How about what you read on the internet? Oh, it's got to be true because it's on the internet, right? I mean, what is it you trust? And yet we feed on it all the time. Do you get what I'm saying?
Yes.
Is anybody getting this?
Yes.
Jesus says, do you understand what I'm saying here? Do you actually believe it? He says, do you believe me? Out loud, every day, let's pray. I'm going to just say these words. If you want to memorize them, fine. You want to write them down, fine. If you want to put them in your own words, fine. But let's do this. Yes, Jesus, I do believe that you love me. And that makes all the difference in my life. Thank you so much. Yes, Jesus, I do believe that you love me. Can you say that with me? Yes, Jesus, I do believe that you love me. And that makes all the difference in my life.
Amen.
Yes, Jesus, I do believe that you love me. I dare you to say it out loud. Yes. Somebody I was talking to this week, I was talking to them, and they started talking to me about reading the Bible out loud and how it makes so much difference. I don't use Jackson. You know, he's like, I mean, the little boy Jackson, he's like,
well, he's not little anymore, he's my size, okay, but he's still little, right?
Okay, but anyway, please, not that little as I was when I graduated from high school at this time, okay, so he's like, Papa, it makes all the difference. He was telling Daddy and I, he goes, it makes all the difference. He says, I read it out loud, and it's like so different when I read it out loud. He said, it just impacts me. It's like it just changes everything. Because you're bringing Jesus into the atmosphere. You're speaking truth. The truth. Not a truth. You're speaking the truth. And it's what you need right now. It's what you need. It's hot, fresh manna. It's rhema, living word, right now. Oh my word. Yes, Jesus. So let's pray out loud every day. Yes, Jesus. I do believe that you love me. And that makes all the difference in my life. Thank you so much.
Yes.
You're going to start every day reminding yourself that Jesus loves you. It's not just, geez, I got me, did I know? No, it's not some little ditty. It's a truth that there is no bigger truth than that Jesus loves you. Loves you because he loves you, because he loves you, because he loves you. And he doesn't love you for what you do. He loves you for who you are. That's right, brother. want you to listen. Maybe you don't look here. 2 Corinthians 5:7. Just look at 2 Corinthians 5:7, please. And then I dare you to memorize this one. I think this one you ought to memorize. It's a real long one. It says this: "For we walk by faith, not by sight." 8 words. "For we walk by faith, not by sight." For we walk by faith, not by sight. We walk by faith. That's believing what God said and moving on it, and not by what we see. "For we walk by faith, not by sight." Jesus wants us to realize, okay, if you don't get anything else, please get this. Okay, like circle it, put it in red, little stars by it, little out next to it. You ready? Jesus wants us to realize that we either believe and trust in Him, or we believe and trust in what we see. We either believe and trust in Him, or we believe and trust in what we see. What we see is temporary. Do you understand that?
Yes.
Does anybody not get that? Everything we see is temporary. None of this is permanent.
Right.
You can't even see me. You only see the temporary housing that Harvey, this eternal spirit, is living in. This is a temporary, little, fat, baldy housing project. Okay? Clothing this little spirit.
Living in the project.
Okay. Now think about just that thought. Jesus wants us to realize that we either believe and trust in Him, or we believe and trust in what we see. If we believe and trust in what we see, that becomes us trusting and believing in our feelings. How steady are your feelings? I'm just asking. You don't even have to be female and have that once a month spike, okay? If I'm talking about, we all have feelings. Have I ever hurt your feelings? Yes, I have, haven't I? Have I ever hurt your feelings? Multiple. Thank you for the honesty. You can't even tell how good I feel right now from all this honesty flowing in this room. Do I love you?
Yes.
Okay. But sometimes you didn't feel like I loved you because Harvey's little flesh did whatever, it's not so big and stopped on your toes and everything, right?
Yep.
Right? Had expectations and I let him down. Of course I warned you, I would right from the beginning, right? I said, it's only Jesus that lifts you up. Are you ready? We live by feelings or we live by faith. If you make a choice to trust God and move on that, the feelings will follow. Are you hearing me?
Yes.
I don't even want to go past this point. I wish I could. There is so much. Every time I sit down and read it, I can do so much more. And I'm like, how am I ever going to get into this thing? It is so good. And He takes me someplace in the Spirit that I love going just every time I start reading John 14. Yeah, I've never gotten so much out of John 14 in my life. And I've memorized a lot of these verses before. But this time, He's doing something. He wants us to realize that we either believe and trust in Him, Jesus, or we believe and trust in what we see. So I meet a guy when I was over praying the thing, the prayer.
Grace Bible College?
Yeah, the prayer day, National Prayer Day thing. And God was able to get loose a little bit through me, and it was kind of cool. And afterwards, even during, I guess, but afterwards, and I met the guy who raised money for the college, but he had just retired 2 weeks ago, I think. And as soon as I met him, God gave me something to say to him, and I spoke into him, and I said, what is it God has next for you? Have you asked him? And he has kind of got this look. So I put my hand out, and he put his hand in mine. You know what happened, don't you? Took him to Jesus. And we just prayed. And he thanked me. And I said, and at one point I said, I'm serious. And he goes, I know. He said, you've got a word from God for me. He said, I know. Then, while I'm eating a little bit later, of course I didn't eat. They asked me a question, so all my food kept sitting there and never got eaten. And a guy that was sitting at the table, or he came up to the table or something. Nobody came up to the table. He's the guy that replaced him. He's the guy that's now getting the money. I don't remember these guys' names. I can pick them out of a crowd, but I don't remember their names. And the second guy, he tells me a story, which I'm part of the story, and I won't tell you that. But he talked about God brought this to my mind about us believing. What it is we believe. What do we believe? Because what we believe is what we live. Yeah. If you write down, I'm not kidding you, if you write down that little prayer thing that I said, yes, Jesus, I do believe that you love me, and that makes all the difference in my life. Thank you so much. If you just start saying that out loud this week, even once a day, yes, Jesus, I do believe that you actually love me. Now, they're not magic words, but if you think about them and mean them, you're going to believe them. And you're going to find he starts ministering to you, because what is your life based on if it's not based on the love of God? Is it based on Christian rules? Is it based on being a member of some club called a church? Is it based on everybody else liking you or accepting you? You see, I would like all of you to like me, but I told you before, whether you like me or not, I'm going to love you, and you don't have to like me. I'm going to tell you the truth anyway. I'm going to tell you what God tells me to say, and it's not based on not trying to get your acceptance or your love if you all vote for me. I don't care. I want to tell you what's true, and what's true is Jesus, and he loves you more than you will ever believe this side of glory. He loves you. He deeply cares for you. Just start reading John 14 this week. And then read it again. And then read it again. And just think about what it's saying. I wish I could go there. Oh my God, I don't feel it. Do we believe and trust in him, or do we believe and trust in what we see? See, what we see is in the natural, and it's real. But what we see is temporary. The supernatural, the spirit realm, is eternal. If I came up to you and I said or did something to make you feel good, that's okay. But if I came up to you and you got the idea that I love you, that I care about you, that I believe in you, that does something inside of you that you can't, there's nothing like that. That's the spirit realm. That's where God wants us to live. Before we met him, we could only live in the natural realm. And then when the doctor says you have cancer, in the natural, that's true. But in the supernatural, what does Jesus say about that? What does Jesus say? All things are possible. What else does Jesus say? Anybody? What does he say? We're sick in the natural. What does Jesus say in the supernatural? What does he say in his word?
We're healed.
By his stripes, we're healed. I'll put none of those diseases on you. He sent his word and healed you. That's what Jesus said. Surely he had borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Same way he carried our sin, he carried our pain and sickness. Now watch. We either believe and trust in Jesus, or we believe and trust in what we see. Which one do you want to believe in?
Jesus.
Where do you want to live? Because if we live in this world, we live lower than what he has for us. We're believing, so we're affected by everything we see affects us. We need to take that to Jesus. What does Jesus say about it? What is the truth? We either live and operate in the flesh realm or the flesh kingdom, which is the lower domain or level, or the spirit realm. Galatians 5:16-18. This I say then, walk in the spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh, the strong desire of the flesh. Galatians 5:16-18. For the flesh lusteth against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary the one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things that ye would. But if ye be led of the spirit, ye are not under the law. God gives us the ability to choose which kingdom or realm that we're going to live in every day, flesh or spirit. Every situation, every conversation, simply by choosing who we're going to believe, Jesus or what we see. Then let's write down these truths here, read them daily, and pray that our God would increase our faith because we choose to believe these truths about Jesus' love and deep care for us. Look at verse 1, John 14. He says, let not your heart be troubled. What are you troubled about? He says, I don't want you to live in fear and worry. Can you see his love and deep care for us? He cares. He says, you believe in God, believe also in me. He said, you've committed your trust unto God, so trust in me also. Do you know and believe that I am God? Jesus said. Do you know who I am? He equated himself with God the Father. He said, you believe in God, believe also in me. I can't say that. Okay, Steve, you believe in God, so believe in me. No, because I'm just a man. But Jesus was the God-man. He says, you believe in God. You've committed your trust unto God. Commit your trust unto me. Do you know and believe that I am God? These thoughts, just these simple little things I'm saying, if you write them down or speak them out, especially speaking them out, Jesus, you are God. You are God in the flesh. You are God. That is going to make a difference in your life. As you begin to believe that and begin to profess or proclaim that for your own life, just for you. If you live in your head, what have we talked about? If you live in your head, you're going to live in confusion and you're going to live in doubt because the devil can do that. But if the God of truth, the spirit of truth is living inside of you, if you try to speak a lie, your heart won't let you just do it. You'll know, oh, that's not true. But in your head, you can think it's true. That's why we got to speak these things out, especially if you're under attack. speak these things out. Okay? He says in verse 2, now look at how Jesus cares for us. He says, I go to prepare a place for you. I'm going to prepare a place for you. Jesus is providing for us. He's thinking about our future. He's planning and preparing our future. He's taking care of us. He wants to do that now too. But he's not saying I'm just here now. What you see here now is the end of it. No, there's a lot more. And then he says in verse 3, that where I am, there you may be also. Jesus wants us to be with him. He deeply cares for you. Do you need me to put a name on that? He deeply cares for you, DBJ. He deeply cares for you, John, little Johnny. He deeply cares for you. Jen. And he says that where I am, there you may be also. He not only wants us, I can't forget it. As a drug dealer, Jesus came in that room with his hands wide open. And I was amazed that he wanted me. I saw the nail prints in his hands. But then when I realized he was holding out to me like he wanted me, I had a lot of rejection. I rejected myself. I did a lot of things that were contrary to myself, contrary to my parents, contrary to society. And then here comes Jesus wanting me. Jesus wants you.
Amen.
He wants you. And he wants you to be where he is. Verse 4, he says, the way you know. He said, this isn't somewhere you got to try to figure it out. He says, you already know the way. He says, by the way, I am the way. I'm also the truth and the life. And no man comes unto the Father but by me. You do have Jesus, right?
Yes.
Then you have the Father. No man comes unto the Father but by Jesus. You have Jesus? They put on a bumper sticker. Yeah, Jesus. You know? Verse 7. He says, if you had known me, you should have known my Father also. He said, do you know who I am? I am God. I am God the Father. If you've known me, you've known the Father. Verse 9, the second time, have I been so long time with you, and yet hast thou not known me? Do you know Jesus? The second time, he says, I am God. If you've seen me, you've seen the Father. Verse 9. If you've seen me, you have seen the Father. That's the third time. The word see. To be a spectator of. Have you been a spectator of God? Have you discerned Jesus? Have you experienced Jesus the Christ? Have you acknowledged Him? Have you beheld the Creator? Have you considered him? Have you looked on Jesus? Have you perceived or known him? Have you experienced Jesus? Verse 10, he goes back and says, believest thou mine? Do you believe? What do you believe? Verse 10, he says the fourth time, he says, I am the Father, and the Father in me. Why does Jesus keep saying this over and over again? Maybe he has a stutter problem. Maybe he needs some therapy. What do you think? Is that why he's saying it, repeating it?
He wants to.
Oh, the best way of teaching is repetition. Didn't we do that with our kids? Over and over and over. And didn't we want to pull our hair out and say, Are you ever going to get this? Do I told you 1,000 times. Okay, mommy, they only need to hear it 2,000. Jesus says, I am in the Father, and the Father in me. That's the fourth time he said it. And then in verse 10 again, he says, the Father that dwelleth in me. There's the fifth time. He's bearing witness to the same truth. The Father lives, dwells, remains in me. And then he says, he doeth the works. He does the works that I'm doing. The Father's doing all this that you see. Verse 11, the sixth time Jesus says the same truth. I am in the Father and the Father in me. Please, look at verse 12. He that believeth on me, the works that I do, shall the person that believes on me also do. And greater works than these shall he do. Why? In verse 10, because the Father that dwelleth in me, he doeth works. And in verse 12, he says, because I go to the Father for you. That's the seventh time he's talking about the same truth, that he is in the Father and the Father's in him. Here Jesus is saying that the Father will do his works through us also. He will do it. When God moves on you, gives you a thought, God, I yield my life to you. What would you like to do? He's like, just hang out with me. I'm like, okay. And what do you want me to do, Lord? Let's go do some tubs, he says to me all the time. Let's go do some tubs. I'm like, you know, all I want to do, I preach all over America, and I always go preach and witness and do Bible studies and pray with people. And he's like, no, let's go do some tubs. So then when I go to do tubs, just like going to family fair, just go do whatever it is that's in front of you. But as you go, he says, I'm going to draw your attention. See? And you're like, yeah. And he's like, just go. Don't ask him questions, because then you're being in control. Just if he draws your attention to somebody, just start moving that direction. When you start moving that direction, he'll tell you. Thoughts will come to you of what he wants to do. I want you to give them a hug. I want you to ask them how they're doing today. I want you to say, you look like you're troubled. Can I pray for you? Whatever thought he gives you, just let him do it. Because he wants to do it. You don't have to be afraid. He's going to move within who he created you to be. He didn't call you to be me. You don't have to be me. Aren't you glad? Yes, it's glad. Okay, aren't you? You get to be you. But I couldn't be you. I have to be me. And me is different than you. But it's the same God that lives in me that lives in you.
That's right.
And he created you on purpose with a purpose. Somebody in here used to work in the nursery all the time. I couldn't work in the nursery all the time. It's just not me. I tried to do that before. I'm not good with doing that. You know? Right.
Right.
No, I'm not good at doing that. Okay? Trash bags, parents don't like their kids in a trash bag. And I tell them, it's okay, it won't suffocate. They'll tie the bag around their neck and you can deal with what's in the bag and you can pick them up. You know, and they don't like that thought. I am not designed to work in a nursery. But there's other people that need to do that. That is so important. There's, when we had the building and you guys like Steve would stand there and greet people that came in. And they were loved, and they were believed in, and they were hugged. Dude! If nothing else happened that day, they're not ever going to forget that they felt welcomed. Not one of these, we're so glad you came. No, it's like, I'm glad you're here the way you used to do it. The way you used to do it. I'm so glad you're here! And it's like, hugging people, and that is so important. Everything, anything that God's called you to do, He is going to do it through you. He is going to empower that. You didn't know when you just told that lady. You were thinking about yourself. Hey, it's my birthday. Or almost my birthday, or whatever you said. You're thinking about yourself. But God prompted you, and you shared that with a lady who was getting ready to enter eternity. And she goes, you know, it's my birthday on the 24th. When's your birthday, by the way? 18. How'd that happen? And so, February 18th. My brother's is the 24th of February. My dad's 29th. Leave your baby. So here it is, the 18th of February, and you're telling the girl, at a cash register, at a grocery store, can you see how spiritual this is? Can you see the setting? They were playing worship music in the background. They were just about to have an altar call. Can you see? It's just normal life. But Jesus wants to go through normal life with you and me. If we're living Jesus, we're just hanging out with Him, living in Him. He loves us. Oh, how He loves me. Oh, how He loves us. How He loves us all. And you're just like, that truth is just so alive in you. And you're just going to the grocery store, and He say this, and you say it, and it opens up a relationship conversation. And then when she says something, you saw and heard a need because God, one of His names, Jehovah Jireh, need meter. He's bigger than the need we have.
Amen.
And He touches you because you let Him touch you. And He moves on you. Oh, she wants to go to the movie theater, but she doesn't have anybody to go. So you knew other women that worked there, and you mentioned it to them. And they, just a little thing, but it met a deep need inside of her, feeling wanted, feeling desired, feeling like somebody wanted to spend time with her. And now, those three women said next year, on February 24th, we're going to go to the movie in memory of our friend that we worked with at the grocery store. All because somebody was hanging out with God and just going about their everyday task. We don't have to do something spectacular. We have a spectacular God who wants to live through us. All we have to do is give Him His way. All we have to do is want Him. He will do it. We're going to stop there. Jesus. Right in the beginning of this chapter, He says, you believe in God, believe also in me. What we believe is what we're going to live. It's going to affect everything we do, what we believe. People give me looks. People think I'm weird. When I was at that table at that prayer day thing, and they had a cookout or whatever you call it afterwards, and we all went into this place, and they were giving us food, and a lady said, so where are you from? And I said, where did you come from? I said, in my mind. It worked out really well. And they all kind of laughed a little. And she said, do you live locally? Do you live in Wyoming? And I go, yes, ma'am, I do. And how did you end up coming here or something? I don't know what she said. But the next thing I knew, I was giving my testimony of how I met Jesus. And one of the women the whole time was like this. The whole time I'm doing my testimony, And they all had their eyes like this at the Lord. I mean, they were just like, I think they're used to everything being more sedate and normal and gentle. And I just be honest and tell them, you ask me a question. So people give you looks and people say things. And sometimes when they do, some guy said to me a few weeks ago, I don't know if this will help one of you, but he just brought it to my mind. God told me this a few weeks ago. He said, Harvey, quit trying to understand evil. Quit trying to understand evil. When anybody is doing anything that's opposite of God, it's evil. Do you understand?
Amen.
Even if they're a Christian or a professor, they might not be a possessor, but they're a professor of Jesus. They profess that they know him. But they're doing something that is hurting you or something that doesn't make sense. Because as a believer, we have choices which realm we're going to live in. Humility, pride, love, hate, and selfishness. Yielding, being in control. And when we are choosing to live in God's kingdom, the other kingdom is our enemy. And it doesn't make sense. Quit trying to figure out why people are doing and saying the things they're doing. That's what God was telling me about a specific person in my life. Because it was spending a lot of my time and energy because I tried doing everything I could. And no matter what I did, they kept doing evil stuff. And yet they go to church every Sunday and profess Christ. But they were stubborn. They were unteachable. And they were hurting me. That's evil. And God said, quit trying to understand evil. You won't understand it. That's not where you live. Forgive them. Commit them unto me. Understand me. Believe me, he says. Follow me. Are we going to? What I want to leave you here today, the thought I just feel like he's wanting to say, I didn't know this was the thought when he was giving me stuff earlier. I wish I could get to this stuff that he was giving me. I feel like it was like God syrup, man, like literally God syrup. Who are we going to believe? Jesus or what we see? Jesus or what we see? We're at where we're at right this minute. You didn't get saved because you did something. You got saved because you couldn't do anything. And you believed on Jesus, that he could do everything.
Amen.
That you needed him. Well, Colossians 2:6, remember Colossians 2:6 that we preached for about 2 years back out over on 79th Street? 79? As you have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him. The same way you get saved is the same way you're supposed to live. I can't do it. Here's where I'm at. But Jesus, I don't want this anymore. I want you. Will you come deliver me? Will you come change the way I think about this? Because I'm making a choice against it. Will you come change my heart, the way I feel about this? A few weeks ago, he brought something to my attention in my life. And I said, he said, you need to break agreement with that. And I said, Lord, I agree with you, but I want it too much. So I said, I don't want to want that. But in truth, I do. So would you please change my want to? This morning, I heard myself praying, and I don't want it anymore. But I didn't do anything. All praise be to him. Were we singing a song, all praise goes to him? If I can do it, then praise goes to me. And I used to say that in religion all the time. Why are we praising Jesus for what I'm doing? I'm the one who had to straighten up. I'm the one who had to keep the rules. I'm the one who did all this that the preacher's talking about. Why does he get the credit if I did it? I went over the hard work because that was just religion. That was just behavioral control. But my heart didn't change. Jesus is the only one who can change our heart. And he's the only one who can change our minds. But we have to cooperate with him. So let's make a choice today. Jesus, I want to believe you instead of what I see. I want to believe you instead of what I see. That is my choice. I want to quit trusting in what I see and living below what you have for me. I want to quit trusting in what I see, think, and feel. I want to quit trusting in this world and thinking the doctor says he's got cancer and you only got 4 weeks to live. I'm going to trust the doctor. The man who's now... I met a man and he's... This weekend he said, you know, I was in prison for a year. He said, I got saved as a little boy. I didn't ask him why he went to prison. But he says, I was in prison. And he said, and we would have Bible studies and all that all the time. He said, but there was a time where a group of us started getting together and praying. And he said, this one over here prayed one thing, and this guy prayed another thing. He said, we went around the circle, and there were seven of us, or whatever there was, five of us, seven, whatever there was. And he said, and I prayed for a woman that had stage 4 breast cancer, that I knew that God would heal her. He said, 2 weeks later, as we met again, every one of us, whatever we had named, which was big things like that, every single prayer got answered. And he said, I said out loud, well, wow, but God doesn't work like that all the time. And one of the other guys says, why not? He's the same guy. He doesn't change. And he said, and I shut my mouth because I didn't believe it, but I had to consider what he said. Now I realize God does work like that all the time. But he didn't believe it at first. He thought it was just a miracle. Well, it is a miracle, but it's not like, whoa, we had a miracle this year. Oh man, we've got to wait till next year to get another one. You know, it's not like that. It's like he does miracles all the time. I choose to believe you, Jesus, instead of what I see. Now, if we spend more time in His Word, He's going to increase our faith. If we ask Him to give us a bigger measure of faith, He will give that to us. And we will have more faith to believe Him and learn to live above. Remember, God said He wants us to live between the horizon and the heavenlies. He wants us to learn to walk on water. Not as a one-time experience. He wants us to learn to live, to walk on circumstances instead of letting circumstances walk on us. Do you understand? I know a lot of things I say are beyond what you're used to hearing. But you know what? You can go somewhere else and live at a different level. But I can't. Because I already know how big God is. And I know I haven't even gotten where He's taking me. And I know there's more. And I'm just going to keep preaching these things. And if you keep hearing them, you're going to have to start believing more. That's just all there is. And that's what's going to happen. The word preached didn't profit them not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. I choose to believe no matter what I see, no matter what I think, no matter what I feel. Amen?
Amen.
You know what, Jesus? This is our choice. We want to believe you. You are always true. The word says, yea, let God be true, but every man a liar. And Lord, the only ones that don't lie are liars, you know, in their own mind. And Lord, we thank you for always being true. We thank you for being the truth, not a truth, the truth, the only true God. Thank you for coming, pursuing us, saving us. Thank you, Jesus. We want to believe you more than what we see. Teach us to live by faith, not by sight. Help us just begin to pray that and watch you do the work in us that changes. We want to live and walk where you do. Thank you, Jesus. You're so awesome.